Good morning and welcome everyone. We'll be following the order of service as printed in our worship bulletin, our opening hymn this morning. Come, let us join our cheerful songs. We begin our service here.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we welcome you to the Sunday, July 3rd, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this morning's broadcast are Ken Richard, Steve Sauer, and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson, and the opening hymn is number 812, Come Let Us Join Our Cheerful Songs, hymn 812 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Linda and Noah Didis are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast to the glory of God in honor of their 34 years of marriage on July 2nd.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We continue now with our responsive psalm. Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds towards the children of man.
He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him.
Who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Thank you.
glory be to God on high. Be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday of Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 66th chapter, beginning at the 10th verse. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like grass. And the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to confession, what is confession?
Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution,
that is, forgiveness from the pastor
as from God himself,
not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. The epistle reading from Galatians, the 6th chapter. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. For now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them to go on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our Christian faith, the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God,
begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 688, Come Follow Me. This might the Savior spake. Hymn 688 in the Lutheran Service Book.
the sermon text this morning from the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 13. That is the Passover. As the Lord said to the people of Israel, the blood will be a sign to you on your houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So through the summer, we're continuing our journey walking through the Bible. We have heard God's promise to raise up a Savior from one of Eve's descendants, one who would crush the serpent's head. This was accomplished by Jesus' death on the cross. Last week, we saw how God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son as a burnt offering unto the Lord, and how the Lord stayed that sacrifice and provided a ram in the place of Isaac to be sacrificed. And that ram then points to Jesus Christ's death on the cross in our place. And today we move yet another 500-year chunk of time to the coming of Moses. Abraham's son Isaac grew up and he married Rebekah. She gave birth to twin sons, Jacob and Esau. And God chose the younger son, Jacob, to have the promise continue on through his family line, the nation that God promised would come from Jacob, and the Messiah would come from Jacob's family. Jacob fathered 12 sons who became 12 extended families or clans, maybe we call them tribes, which combined made up one nation. God renamed Jacob Israel, and that is the name by which his descendants would be known, the people of Israel. And of these 12 sons, Jacob favored his 11th son the most. Do you know who that son was? That was Joseph. Not surprisingly, Joseph's older brothers were somewhat resentful at the good treatment that Joseph got, and they were a wee bit jealous and hostile to him. And of course, you'll remember that when Israel sent his son out to check on his older brothers, they accosted him, they beat him up, they took the robe off of him, they put some sheep's blood on it, they sold their brother off into slavery and told their dad, a wild animal has killed your son. Under such circumstances, we might expect that Joseph would abandon God, but that is not the case. God was with him and blessed him in all the things he set out to do, even while he was enslaved in Egypt. But most importantly, God kept Joseph's faith strong, and despite some false charges and injustices that severely tested his faith, Joseph eventually became the prime minister of Egypt. And during a severe 7-year famine, Joseph sold food to the Egyptians and the surrounding nations. And when his brothers showed up, you know how the account goes, how Joseph eventually made himself known to his brothers as to who he was. And they went and got their father and their entire family moved to Egypt, where Joseph gave them land to settle, land in a place called Goshen. And they stayed there for over 400 years. During that time, Israel's descendants came to be known as the Hebrews, and they multiplied into a great nation within Egypt. And long after Joseph and his brothers died, a new Pharaoh came to power, one who did not know or did not remember what Joseph had done and how he had saved Egypt from destruction and death during the famine. He feared the growing power of the Israelites, who were multiplying rapidly. He enslaved them and made their lives bitter with hard and difficult labor. But by God's blessing, that special nation called Israel kept growing stronger and stronger. So Pharaoh gave the command to drown every Hebrew baby boy in the Nile River. And when a baby boy was born to a Hebrew woman, this particular Hebrew woman hid her son as long as she could hide him. And then she took the basket. She took that son when he became about 3 months old, put him in a basket, and let him float down the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket when she was bathing, and she rescued that baby, gave that baby the name of Moses. Moses lived around 1500 BC, and he was raised in Pharaoh's house, where he was taught the wisdom of the Egyptians, but he never forgot that he was an Israelite. And when he was 40 years old, he saw a Hebrew slave being whipped by an Egyptian, and Moses, in his wrath and anger, killed the Egyptian and hid his body in a sand pit. Later, when Moses was found out and the murder was made known, Moses fled Egypt and went to the land of Midian. There in Midian, he married a woman who was the daughter of Jethro, and he tended his father-in-law Jethro's flocks for another 40 years. Then one day, as he was out tending his father's flocks, he noticed something far away on a hilltop. There was a bush that was caught on fire, and yet the bush did not burn up. You know how this goes. He said to himself, I'm going to go over and see this marvelous thing, the bush that is on fire, and yet it does not burn up. So he got near to the bush, and a voice came to him out of the bush. Moses, Moses, do not come near. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. That's an important theme throughout the entire Bible, especially in the Old Testament. God is holy, and sinful people cannot enter into His presence unless He permits them and He deals with their sins. This is all to remind us that one day God would send His Son, Jesus Christ, who will stand on the earth to judge the living and the dead. Once again, creation will be holy, and only those people who have been made holy through faith in Jesus Christ will be able to stand in the presence of God and dwell in the new heavens and the new earth. The rest, those who rejected the God's Messiah, will be cast into eternal darkness, where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. From the burning bush, God told Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I have surely seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up into a good land, a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses wasn't incredibly sure about this. In fact, he was very hesitant to do this, and God persisted, and finally Moses obeyed the word of the Lord. He approached Pharaoh with his brother Aaron, who spoke for him. Aaron commanded Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Let my people go so that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Pharaoh's response was very similar to that of the responses of his ancestors, Adam and Eve and Cain and the ungodly, because the ungodly rarely listen to the Lord, and they usually disobey him if his will goes counter to their will and their desires. Pharaoh heard God's command but refused to let Israel go. Instead, he increased the burden on them, no longer providing straw for them to make bricks, but told them to go find it yourself. God responded to Pharaoh's hard-heartedness with a string of plagues. And through these plagues, God demonstrated his power. He made a reputation for himself. He called Pharaoh to repent and Pharaoh to believe, and he showed his superiority over all the gods of Egypt, the gods that the Egyptians had invented for themselves. Each time the Lord struck with a plague, the Pharaoh humbled himself and said, I will let your people go. And as soon as the plague was over and passed and the troubles were done, the Pharaoh hardened his heart again and said, No, I've changed my mind. You're going to stay here. So God sent more plagues, and each plague hit harder, and each plague was more damaging than the last plague. And for the 10th and final plague, Aaron announced that God would send an angel to strike down the firstborn of every creature in Israel or in Egypt, the firstborn human child, the firstborn of every animal. God would send the angel of death through Egypt. That would be the last plague. It's a terrifying reminder of the day of judgment that's going to come upon all of the earth. Each and every one of us will stand before Christ. And even if that day does not come for another 1,000 or 2,000 years, we will all be raised to life to stand before our judge, and not a single one of us will be able to escape. But God provided a way of escape for the firstborn of Israel and for we ourselves. For we read in Exodus chapter 12, Every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household, and they will keep it to the 14th day of the month. When the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it in the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood on the doorposts, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you. And then I will strike the land of Egypt. This lamb came to be known as the Passover lamb. And each year after this, God's people would celebrate the Passover feast, and they would sacrifice the Passover lamb to commemorate how God freed them from slavery in Egypt. And these Passover lambs become the third major reference in the Old Testament to the coming of the Savior. The first was the Garden of Eden, where we see that God made the promise to Adam and Eve that he would send one who would crush the serpent's head. Reference to Jesus' victory over Satan as Jesus suffered and died on the cross. The second was the ram, sacrificed as a substitute for Isaac. That ram caught by its horns in a thicket, wrapped in a crown of thorns, so to speak. That ram pointed ahead to the substitute sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Jesus who would be sacrificed in our place. And this third, the Passover lamb, also points ahead in time to Jesus Christ, the final Passover lamb, whose blood was shed for us on the cross, whose blood marks us in the waters of holy baptism. On judgment day, the angel of death will come, and he will see that blood on you, the blood of the lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. He will see your baptism, and he will pass over you, and he will spare you from eternal death in hell. Washed clean and pure of all of our sins to live in the presence, you will stand together with your God in the new heavens and the new earth. You will live perfectly in a restored creation. You will be surrounded by people who are made pure and holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. And your life will be eternal, immortal, and glorious. Your existence will be a delight. And standing on ground made holy by the feet of God, he will stand with you forever. That is the day that we look forward to. That is the day that Jesus Christ will come gloriously upon the earth. That is the day when your knees shall bow and your tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And that is the day, the glory that is in you now in the eyes of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God your Father will be revealed, and everyone shall see what Christ has done for you and that you are in Christ. So let us each look forward to that day and rejoice at its coming. In Christ's holy name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us all now rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the morning worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you just heard the Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise for our prayers. O God, you sent Jesus to preach your word, and he sent out the 72, and he sent out the apostles. We ask that you would grant us faithful pastors to fill our pulpits, pastors who will receive your word with thanksgiving and deliver it without fear, even when wolves threaten to devour them, and who trust that their labor is not in vain. Make the Lincoln Circuit pastors such bold men who proclaim your word. Especially we ask you to bestow your grace and your power on Reverend Heinz, who will this day be installed as pastor of St. Paul Havana. May he shepherd well your flock. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of all compassion, in your Son you have borne the burdens of all mankind. We praise you that you have looked with compassion upon Diane and Mark Hunsley's granddaughter Eliza, and have brought her closer to full recovery from her accident. We continue to pray for her health, her healing, and her strength. We thank you also that Rick Pools is healing from his back pain, and that Sue Ah has recovered from her seizure. And for all those who are sick in body and mind or soul, we ask that you would grant health and faith according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, in this sin-infected world, nation rages against nation in warfare, and people rise up in anger and vitriol toward one another. Give peace, we pray, to our all nations and to these United States as we prepare to celebrate our Independence Day. We ask you to spare us, good Lord, from your wrath and your just punishments for our sins, that you would grant our people repentant hearts, bring erring Christian denominations away from the darkness of their false teaching, and return them to the light of Christ, so that the souls of our people be cleansed, the church be reformed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, you have given us the great commission to go out into all the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Accordingly, our congregation has established a school to train up our children in righteousness and teach them the ways in which they should go. We ask your blessings upon our school and upon our staff as they are busily preparing for the new school year. And we ask that according to your will and your grace, you would provide an administrator for our Zion Lutheran School. Bring this person whom you have already selected to serve us to our knowledge, so that we may be able to invite them into our midst to proclaim the glories of Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have graciously provided us with the Lord's Supper so that we may eat and drink with faith in the promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation. We ask that we would receive the benefits of Christ's body and blood that has been given and shed for us. Grant us, dear Father, to at all times and in all places give thanks for your love and trust Christ's work on our behalf. All this we ask in the same Jesus Christ who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Thank you. Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Closing hymn is number 680, Thine the Amen, Thine the Praise, hymn 680 in the Lutheran service book.
Please check your Zion's Light for all the information for the week. Next week, Vacation Bible School, next Sunday, 3 to 8. And may you enjoy, if you have any 4th of July celebrations going on today and tomorrow, enjoy them. And may the Lord bless all of you, your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Yeah.